Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, I'm going to begin with you. This weekend, no fewer than 25 states will be easing stay-at-home orders in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. New York, not one of them, but their day of unpausing is coming soon, hopefully. We know the impact this may have on businesses at first, but a lot of pastors have been asking me, what will church look like in the coronavirus era? What is it going to be like for houses of worship once this unpause thing does start to take effect?
Yeah, as you can imagine, we're fielding a lot of those calls as well. The governor has essentially given us the roughest of timelines. So by May 15th, it looks like that at that point, some construction and manufacturing businesses will open. 2 weeks after that, we'll see a further opening. So I don't anticipate that church sanctuaries will be opened until June, which, while frustrating for many churches, it also is a great opportunity because we really are going to have to rethink church in a post-pandemic world. There will be people who will not return to church because they don't want to spread this virus. There will be people who want to be there. Children's ministry will look different. And so I think we're going to have both an on-campus model, if you will, and an off-campus model, even for churches. People that will be live streaming but still want to be a part of the body of Christ that is meeting. And so there's many, many questions we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come, and our ministry will be releasing resources to help churches walk through what that may look like.
Yeah. In the midst of this pandemic, Planned Parenthood has been hard at work. 1,700 abortions during this ban on so-called elective surgeries. And they have won a huge victory with this latest Wolf veto, this telemedicine bill, which would have really helped when you think about how business is done nowadays. The governor shoots it down. Michael, you've been following this story for a long time. Tell us why.
Yeah, it was reported in the news, a quote from me saying, when Planned Parenthood wants a veto, Governor Wolf always delivers. The fact is that this telemedicine bill, which was supported by the Hospital Association and the Pennsylvania Medical Society and AARP and virtually everybody to expand access to telemedicine in the midst of this pandemic, Governor Wolf vetoed it solely because that bill restricted the ability of Planned Parenthood to do chemical abortions on a remote basis using telemedicine. That was a part of a provision in the bill that was protecting health and life of people in Pennsylvania that said that drugs that were on a particular list from the FDA, dangerous drugs that should be only prescribed face-to-face, the abortion drug was one of those drugs. The bill said you couldn't do telemedicine and include those drugs. And because of that one drug, chemical abortions, Governor Wolf vetoed it.
Wow. Well, we're talking pro-life issues. You have filed a brief with the U.S. Supreme Court. This is breaking news, Michael. Give our listeners a little bit of inside baseball on that.
It's a request for the United States Supreme Court to hear a Pittsburgh case dealing with free speech and the rights of pro-life citizens to gather outside abortion clinics and counsel women who are considering abortions. Pittsburgh passed an ordinance that says that people have to stay at least 15 feet away from the entrance of an abortion clinic. When that bill was being considered by the city council, one of the council members actually said, we want to make sure that the women going in don't hear a pro-life message. And so our attorneys at the Independence Law Center filed the brief with the U.S. Supreme Court saying this is unconstitutional violation of free speech and asking the court to hear the case.
Yeah, Jason, in this coronavirus pandemic, it seems like nursing homes in New York have been the hardest hit. So tragic. So many lives lost, over 3,000, I believe, statewide. And the governor now has taken some action in that regard. If you would explain that to our listeners.
Well, late Wednesday night, there was a different order that came out of the governor's office. Essentially, up to this point, nursing home staff that were COVID-19 positive were allowed to continue to work in nursing homes. Wow. As of Wednesday night, following pressure from the Steuben County manager, Jack Wheeler, Assemblywoman Marjorie Burns, and Senator Pat Gallivan, The Cuomo administration has now reversed that, and COVID-19 positive staff will no longer be allowed to work in nursing homes, but will have to take that 2-week break until they are no longer positive. It's stunning, and now we know why nursing homes have been ravaged by this coronavirus.
Yeah, it begs the question. He just took this action this week. This virus has been part of our daily conversation for several weeks. This potentially could cause an astronomical rise in the death rate in New York, correct?
Correct. And don't forget that the governor also announced a state investigation of why there were so many deaths in the nursing homes. That's an attempt for him to get ahead of this and to control the messaging as the state looks at this issue.
Yeah, interesting. Let's head to Harrisburg again, Michael. A Pennsylvania business owner is taking this stay-at-home order from the governor to court, the U.S. Supreme Court, saying that Governor Wolf acted without due process. Explain this case, if you would, a little bit, and the chances that this guy has that he will be successful ultimately.
Well, yeah, it's a businessman. It's and actually a group of business people. They call themselves Friends of Danny DeVito, not the actor, but actually the name of this business owner.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's going to have a lot of success before the Supreme Court. They asked for an injunction, a stay from the Supreme Court this past weekend. That was denied. Then they come back Monday with a request for at least the court to hear the case. It's the kind of case, honestly, that I wouldn't be surprised to see in cropping up in states all over the place because of what many view as the heavy hand of government that is arbitrarily closing certain businesses and allowing others to be open. You hear from clothes stores, for example, that say, well, I can Target sell children's clothes, but I can't right across the street.
Yeah.
Those are the sort of concerns that are being brought up by these business owners.
Siena College gave us a poll this week. Kind of surprising. It gives the governor really high marks, 77% approval rating for how he's handled this pandemic. Jason, is this due more to real leadership in the face of this crisis, or is it just the fact that the governor is in the daily news cycle? Every day he gives those 11:30 press conferences, and every night he's on the news. What do you think is contributing to those high marks for the governor?
Well, I think you can never over-communicate in a crisis. And in times of crisis, people are looking for leadership. And so if you can portray leadership, then I think people will see that and they will affirm that. That's probably what's going on here. I mean, there are daily hour and a half press conferences that are being held, and the legislature is not in session. So no one is essentially going after the governor on any political front, and he's profiting from all of the news cycle that is just keeping his name out there everywhere all day long.
Yeah. Michael, a couple of county coroners, I think one was Lycoming County, the other Sullivan County, said, hey, in response to the official death count in Pennsylvania, they say the state health secretary, Rachel Levine, using fuzzy math here and how it keeps score of the official fatality rate. What's going on here?
Yeah, it has raised questions. Not only those two coroners, but some in some other counties as well have raised questions about it, because state law requires coroners to investigate deaths in the case of infectious diseases, and yet the Pennsylvania Department of Health is precluding them from doing that. And that's raised questions among many of the coroners. And then questions about the numbers. After some of the coroners raised these questions, we saw there was a 2-day period where deaths jumped up significantly in terms of the state numbers. And then a couple of days later, that number dropped back down. And I know that those people were not resurrected, but rather the state was saying, well, there were some computer glitches and some other problems. And it does raise questions that go to public trust of our government officials.
Yeah, lots of questions being raised today. Finally, Jason, New York mailing ballots to voters for the June primary. This is unprecedented. As far as we know, that June 23rd primary is still on, but we saw Ohio just do this recently. Is this the new normal for how elections are done, mail-in elections? What are your thoughts and concerns on that?
Well, a la Rahm Emanuel, never waste a crisis, right? And I think that's what Governor Cuomo is doing and many of the progressive Democrats in Albany are doing these days, is they are using this time to advance an agenda they have long sought. Universal balloting is a problem. Essentially, we are sending a ballot to every registered voter. There are lost ballots. There are just so many problems when there are all these loose ballots floating. Yeah. Remember, we're not talking about an application to get an absentee ballot, which we have no opposition to. We are talking about ballots floating around that could easily be returned and no way to verify who really voted in that election.
Boy, I tell you what, these are strange days. I seem to say that every week. These are very strange days. But if you have questions about the Pennsylvania response to COVID-19, Michael, you have a wonderful website folks can check out. What is that, sir?
PAFamily.org.
Stay informed on the issues in New York as well. Jason, where can folks go?
AlbanyUpdate.com.